The text for our consideration this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. My first year at St. Peter, I got right to work teaching confirmation class. And at the advice of Pastor Nass at the time, I started out with a survey for everyone, parents and students. The survey had a couple of questions, and it was modeled after one that Pastor Nass had used in the past, and so on. The idea was simply just to find out where people were at. What kind of things had they learned already? What did they want to learn? And so on. In fact, it's the kind of thing that I've done most years since I became a pastor. Every confirmation class, I usually send out one of these surveys just to see where people are. Some of the questions had no right or wrong answer, like, what are some things you'd like to learn this year? But others did have very specific answers that I was hoping for, like, aside from the Bible, what is a spiritually focused book that has influenced you? Or, please do your best to list each of the Ten Commandments in order. And after I had given out that survey, the results were very interesting to Pastors Degner, Nass, and I. We sat down in one of our meetings and talked about them. And some of the things aren't going to surprise you, like, most of the parents and students wanted to learn more about the Bible. That makes sense. If you're going to send your kids to a catechism class, you probably want them to learn something. But do you know what the most common book that was put down was? None. It seemed like that group wasn't really reading many other books about their faith. But maybe the most surprising thing came in the section about the Ten Commandments. Of all the parents and students who were there combined, do you know how many were able to list all Ten Commandments in order? Zero. And why do I tell you all of this? It's not because I want people to feel shame or embarrassed or anything like this. It's because I think that is the sort of thing that lives in the back of people's minds as they go about exercising their faith day to day. That lack of knowledge might actually make them shy away from sharing their faith. I think it's at least partly behind comments that I hear from parents about whose responsibility it is to teach their children. That's your job, they say to me. But can you understand how that lack of knowledge might give them just a little bit of doubt? I think it might be the same thing for you as well. If I paused right here, and I decided that we were going to pass out a quick little survey, would you have a book that you could put down? Would you be able to list all of the Ten Commandments in order? At the very least, do you see how that lack of knowledge, even just subconsciously, might make you feel a little bit shy when someone asks you a question about the Bible? Or that when someone asks you what you believe about Jesus, maybe you just kind of get quiet and avoid whatever the answer might be. Truth is, it's a dangerous thing to lean on yourself and what you may or may not know, as if that is enough when it comes to talking about Jesus. In fact, it's just not what Jesus wants us to do. In our lesson for today, we're right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He's still going about and calling some of his disciples, and we get to hear him call four today. But during that time, his ministry had a very specific theme. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. His message at this time sounds a lot like what John the Baptist had been preaching. Their focus was on what the coming of the Christ meant for all people. That was the message. The kingdom of God is near. Repent. Believe the good news. The one who would cast out his net to gather in people from everywhere from all nations for heaven, he had come. And on the day that our lesson takes place, Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he sees two brothers, Simon Peter and Andrew. It seems like there were a number of men who were getting ready to go fishing or coming back from fishing. And these two were some of them. And Jesus calls them. He says, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. At once, they left their nets and followed him. It's always astonishing to me just how quickly this happens. There's no pushback. They don't ask any questions, it seems like. They don't ask for a moment where they can just go back and tell their wives and families what's going to happen. One minute, they're casting nets into the water, and the next, they're following Jesus. Jesus seems to go just a little bit further, and he sees two more brothers, James and John. They're taking care of some nets with some hired men, and he calls them too. They left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. It seems like Zebedee might have been someone who was important or well-known. That's why he's listed by name. It seems like he owns some boats and even has some hired men. Maybe he was an influential figure. And yet, even with that influential person, James and John leave behind their old life to follow Jesus. Because Jesus had given them a new job. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. There's so much that's interesting about this account, but one of the things for me is the lack of questions. What's a fisher of men? How do you even go about catching people? And are these four men qualified to do whatever that is? Have they read any spiritually relevant books lately? Can they list the Ten Commandments in order? They could probably do that last one. But still, these guys are fishers. They catch literal fish. That's their job, so that they can support themselves and their family. What is it that makes them qualified to be in Jesus' ministry? Nothing. And yet, everything. Nowadays, people know these names, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, throughout the entire world as Jesus' disciples. Two of them, Peter and John, wrote books and letters that are in the Bible that have now been read by billions of people throughout history. But these guys aren't scholars. They're not pastors or professors. They're just ordinary, regular people. They were fishermen. So how is it that they are going to be able to do this job that Jesus was calling them to? How could they be a fisher of men? Sometimes I think we ask ourselves that question too. We ask ourselves, am I smart enough to talk about the Bible? Do I know enough to teach my child or my grandchild, even though it's not my profession? Can I be the one that tells my friends what I believe about Jesus? Why would anyone even want to listen to me in the first place? Have you ever asked yourself questions like that? Has it ever been that someone asks you a question and you just kind of shy away from it? Maybe even wondering why Jesus would bring an opportunity like that to you in the first place. Does your grandchild or child ever come to you and ask you a question about what you believe and you just start questioning yourself? But Jesus calls fishermen. I want you to realize that that is significant. Because Jesus could have called 12 experts in the law. He could have called 12 Pharisees. He could have gone around and found the 12 smartest people in the entire world and made them his disciples. But here we see him call four ordinary, regular, everyday fishermen. Because the truth is when Jesus needs someone to proclaim his message, a message like repent and believe the good news, Jesus can use anyone. It doesn't matter what your circumstances is. It doesn't matter where you are. Jesus can use anyone. He can use fishermen. He can use farmers. He can use stay-at-home moms. He can use corporate workers, construction workers, policemen, and so on. Jesus can use anyone in any circumstance to help people understand the gospel so that they can hear the good news about him. When my brother Kyle was in high school, he met this guy and they hit it off right away as being friends. This guy was super friendly. He was really open, super charismatic. They had a lot of things in common. And when you meet a person like that, you just kind of gravitate towards them. You want to spend some time with them. And so when he asked my brother if he wanted to grab coffee one day and just hang out for a little bit, My brother was all for it. He was really excited. And then as they were sitting there at Starbucks, chatting away, he pulls out a well-worn briefcase and sets it on the table. And he says, "I wanted to let you know I have a great opportunity for you." Then he opened the briefcase, and do you know what was inside? Knives. Like kitchen knives. He said, "If you give me $1,000 right now and invest it in my company, I can double your money in a month." Maybe you can kind of tell what's going on here. This was a sales pitch. Turns out this guy wasn't actually interested in being my brother's friend at all. He just wanted his money. How do you think my brother felt in that situation? Knowing that this guy who seemed so interested in him, seemed so friendly and charismatic, all he really cared about was his money. And I tell you that because I'm a pastor, and I love being a pastor. But do you know what some people see when they look at me? Or what they think about when they meet a pastor? They see me as a salesman. They think that my job is to sell church, whatever that might be. They think that my job is to get people in the pews, to make sure that our church is growing, that our offerings are coming in, that our church is popular in the community, or whatever. They think that I am a salesman, and that is the pitch that I'm giving them. And even though a lot of people assume that you should send people to pastors for spiritual conversations, they think that that's the best way to do it, it can sometimes work in the opposite way. They can meet a pastor and kind of close themselves off because they think this is a sales pitch. They think I'm trying to sell them something. And it can be hard for them to see past that. It means that I'm not the only one who has this job of telling other people about Jesus. It's a good thing for me to recognize that. But it also means that you have this job too. The Bible says that pastors are here to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. When it comes to telling your friends or family about Jesus, or teaching the faith to your children or grandchildren, do you know who the best person for that job is? It's not me. It's you. Because you're not a salesman. When they talk to you, they see a person that they love. A person that they have spent time with, who is interested in them, who wants what's best for them. When you tell them about Jesus, they don't see a salesman. They see their friend or their loved one. They see their mom or dad or grandma or grandpa. That's huge. Because Jesus can use anybody he wants to tell people about the gospel. Here, he used four fishermen, four normal, ordinary, untrained men. And he uses you too. He uses you to reach out to those people that he has already placed in your lives. And this method is astonishingly effective. This is a statistic that you've already heard from me, but 82% of people say that they would go to church if they were invited by a friend or family member. Doesn't that just make sense? Because they know you. They know that you want what's best for them, that you love them, and they love you too. None of this is easy. But I want you to know that the hardest part of evangelism is the time it takes to establish and build that relationship. It is not the actual conversation about Jesus. That is the sort of thing that you have been learning about from Pastor Kelly and I in every single sermon that we preach. You just tell them what you believe about Jesus. You tell them about the God who became a man and died for the forgiveness of all of your sins. You tell them about how he has this unconditional, unchanging love for you, that he is with you every single day, watching over you, and one day he will even take you to heaven. Tell them just how amazing that is, how much you love coming to worship, how much you love hearing his word. Just tell them what you believe about Jesus Christ, your Savior. And there's lots of ways you can do that. Yes, you can do it by inviting them to church so that they can come and hear God's word. But you can also do it by simply clicking share and making sure that this message gets out to all of your friends on Facebook. You can do that right now. There's lots of ways. Just deepening those friendships, those relationships for people that you already care about is a great start. Because this lesson, it teaches us that God can use anyone. Jesus uses four fishermen to get out his word. And he likes doing it this way. And he still does it this way today too. He's doing it with you. Amen.